हरिः ॐ सह न ववतु सह नौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द महाभारता Chapter 9, the Gandharva Angarapana. So then we've seen before how Bhima was then sent to take the cart of food out to the Rakshasa. And taking it there, then Bhima was very happy for two reasons. One, he gets a lot to eat, which he normally didn't get to eat because they just went begging and whatever they got, he got half of that. And two is he gets to, exercise a little bit and kill a Rakshasa. So for him, it's good all the way around. So now, Baka's dead. The village of Ekachakra, they're, very happy, and they have the festival and that. And then the Pandavas, they just continue to live at the house of the Brahmin as Vyasadeva has instructed. And continue as they're doing, they passing their days and by studying the scriptures and by begging. Then one day a Brahmin, a wandering ascetic, came to the Brahmin's house and accepted his invitation to stay for a few days. After he had been duly worshipped and fed by the Brahmin and his family, the ascetic told stories from his travels. The Pandavas listened along with the Brahmin's family. They heard about a great Swayambhar ceremony soon to be held in Kampilya for Draupadi, King Drupad's daughter. This princess, the ascetic said, was not born of a woman, but had been born along with her brother Drishtadyumna from the sacrificial fire. Right, so they had performed sacrifice, and generally in these sacrifices, the mantras are chanted and the potency is there. That potency is then put into a fruit or some sweet rice or something like this, and then the queen eats that, and then she has a child. But in this case, the queen wasn't there. Somehow or another, she had stepped out for a minute or something. And they were saying, that whoever's, going to appear is already here. So, what to do? The queen's not here. And so then they asked, well, is there something else you can do? So then they just brought them and they just took birth directly from the fire. They just came out of the yajna. So, very special. So it says, and for the Pandavas, then this is fun because that's, they're also from a special appearance like that. And we see so many persons here are our special appearance. The Pandavas were intrigued. They asked, please tell us how it is possible that Draupadi and her brother could appear from the fire. We desire to hear everything you know. So when you do that, instead of just saying, oh, just that part that I said there, why are they having that sacrifice? Why, this? And so that, it goes back until you get to the beginning, right? So in the beginning, then Drona, it said here, ascetic first told about Drona, the sage Bharadwaj, once had seen Gritachi, a divinely heavenly apsara. She's one of the five main apsaras that are there. Urvasi, Gritachi, Rumba, Menaka, like that, and there'll be one more. So they're the top one. Or there may be five, and I think Urvasi is above that. She's in her own category. So they're very, very attractive and all that. And so then somehow or another, from this, Bharadraj had given birth to a child from a pot. So the pot, the small pot like that, is called a Drona. So therefore, Drona being born from that pot, he was called Drona, like that. As a child, Drona had been friends with Drupad, who had come to study at Bharadraj's hermitage. So in the hermitage, then Drupad had come to there and was studying, and so along with Drona, they were studying in the hermitage, and so then they became very good friends and everything like that. Sometime after that, so at that time, then because they were friends and everything, because in that time they were equals as brahmacharis in the ashram, and then Drupad had mentioned that, you know, okay, after when we graduate, we grow up, then I'll go back to the kingdom, be a king, you know, like that, and you'll be a Brahmin, so you come to me and I'll, you know, arrange everything that you'll have all facility. Because he was saying in friendship. But we see is that later, then somehow or another, due to pride or whatever reason, the modes of nature arranged that Drupad didn't acknowledge this and said, how, you know, we were equals then, we were kids, but now we're not equals, so how can you say? But the point was he was making is, yes, we may be equals here, but I'll be a king, you'll still be a Brahmin. So then if you come, you know, I'll help you out. He didn't say because we're equals. But then the problem is Drupad's saying, oh, we can only be friends if we're equals. So that means you can only be friends with another Kshatriya or something. So that's why we see is then Drona had that arrangement that having trained the Pandavas and the Kauravas, then they had their, they went for, their dakshin was to capture Drupad. Having defeated and captured Drupad, then, you know, because Drona wanted to continue the friendship with him, so then he said, okay, we've captured you. That means your whole kingdom is mine, right? So I'll give you half, I'll keep half. So now half-half, we're equals, you know? And so Drupad is saying, okay, what to do? But actually, you know, the Kshatriyas, a lot of times then they have this, they can't forgive. We see like the Pandavas, because they're devotees, they can move on. But sometimes we see a lot of times the Kshatriyas, they can't. They're just the passion is so much, that spirit is so much that they have real problem forgiving anybody. So that's the quality of a Brahmin, the foremost quality is forgiveness. Somebody does something, they're able to move on from that. Like you see, Drona was able to train Drishtadyumna, which is coming up in the discussion, even though he's born to kill him, right? Only a Brahmin could do that. That's why Brahmins do run education. It's not a business, it's not something else. It's just their duty, they do that. And then they live simply by however, you know, arrangements are there. Well, you see, you know, then Kshatriyas, it's more, you know, has some other element to it. Vaishyas run it, then it's going to be a business aspect to it. You know, Shudras do it, it's going to be all on the mood. And if they feel like it, they teach you. If not, they don't. And, you know, that kind of thing. So then it's just natural that he's in this position. Sometime after Drupad left the hermitage, right, so they had grown up and like that, he had left, and then Drona heard that the invincible Brahmin warrior Parasuram was retiring to the forest and was giving away all his possessions. Drona approached him and asked for charity. Parasuram replied, right, because, you know, as a Brahmin, because you've graduated now, then he wants to make his life and all that. So then he goes to him thinking he'll get some charity. But, as we see here, having once won this wide earth from the ruling class, I am now without wealth. I have already given it to the Brahmins, right? Because he gave everything to the Brahmins. Now I possess only my body and my weapons. Which of these would you prefer, O Brahmin? Because that's all he has left, so which do you want? You want charity? I can give you one of those. Drona asked Parasuram for his celestial weapons, along with the knowledge to use them. So that's smart. Not just that you get something, but also how to use it. Otherwise, if you have Agneyastra, but if you don't know how to use it, what's the point? You know. The Rishi bestowed his weapons upon Drona, who then left again to see his friend Drupad. By then, Drupad had become the king of Panchala. The Pandavas listened as the ascetic told them what they had already heard from Drona himself, right? Because Drona had explained this, as we heard before, how Drupad had insulted his friend most terribly. Not knowing that it was the Pandavas who were listening, the ascetic told him how the Pandavas, at Drona's command, had then overpowered Drupad, right? So he's telling the story of how the Pandavas, you know, they overpowered, and how, you know, the whatever happened in that battle and all that, and they'll listen very happily. They love hearing about the battles and all. But he doesn't know that he's talking to the Pandavas themselves, but, you know, they're listening, and it's very nice, and because it is amazing, so even they themselves, like, wow, because for them, they understand it's by Krishna's mercy and Krishna's potency that these things are happening. So even they hear that it's them doing, it's not like, yeah, we did that. It's like, wow, Krishna gave that ability and that. So, after being humiliated by Drona and losing half his kingdom, Drupad thought only of revenge. Right, so that's the, you know, this is the problem with these if he shouldn't have said something in the beginning, he's not going to keep it, because that's the one thing you see with Yudhishthir and Kunti, and that that they say something, or Ramachandra, they say something, they do it, whether that's good for you or not. That's one of the signs of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya says he's going to do this, then if it's found out later it's going to be really a problem, they'll still do it. But you'll see, let's say, like a Vaishya, if he finds out later it's going to be a problem, he won't do it, because, you know, he's not going to lose money and all this and that, you know, most others. So that's the thing. So the weakness here is Drupad having said this as a child. You can say, as always a child, and I said this. But the point is then if you're a Kshatriya and you say something, you have to go by that. It's not against the rules. It's one thing is if he was immature, untrained, and he said something was improper for a Kshatriya to do. But we don't see that that's the case. You know, it's just like people come to Arjuna and say, can you do something for me? You know, but they haven't told him what. And he says, I can do as long as it's within my duties and it's not going to be harmful to myself or someone else. You know, it's not against the rules of Kshatriya. It's not against Shastra. You can't ask me to do something that's against Shastra. You can't ask me to do something that's against my duty or that will be harmful to himself in the way of, you know, jump off a cliff or something like, can you do me a favor? Can you jump off a cliff? You know, you don't do that kind of thing. So we see here is that it wasn't against the Shastra. It was. So he should have supported that. Or he could have said, yeah, we have children then and this and that, but how are you? You know, like, so you have that friendship. Why would you forget that? You know, Krishna, they went to school together with Sudama Vipra. And then a long, much longer time than this. This would have been not so much distant time. You know, for Krishna and Sudama, the amount of time would have been so great. But, and he is the king in Dwarka, which, you know, as far as power, opulence, and anything you can name is way greater than Drupad had. And the poverty of Sudama Vipra would have been even greater than that of Drona. So we see the difference was much, much greater. But immediately, Krishna, we were friends. We're friends now. Friends means you're friends. It's not, you know, not because of your social status and all that. You know, it's a personal relationship. So that aspect then we can see is that's a weakness. So the Vaishnav community and that, that shouldn't be there. You know, amongst the materialists, it shouldn't either, because that's the standard thing. Relationships are established, that's how they run. You know, so unless something major changes or that, then, but here there was no change. You know. So then, because of that, they break down relationships, it causes problems. So therefore, Drona acted in, you know, he acted materially, Drona responded in a very clever way, according to his duty. He didn't just fight with them there himself. He is, as a Brahmin, taught students who then defeated him. So that means he even has greater knowledge that he can train students. Because most of the time, students aren't as good as you. And so if you can train students that they're greater than your you know, enemy or your adversary, then what a great teacher like that. You know, easily he himself at that time when he came to the court, he could have just defeated him right there. But, you know, as a Brahmin, that's not how he does it. So then... Yeah, and so now he functioned this way, and then we see now Drupad will react in also a material way, and so it just keeps going. You know, it's just like, you know, the boys. You know, somebody takes this pencil, and the other guy pokes him, and then he hits him, and then it's a wrestling match, and it's a, you know, it's just that's the problem with a material platform. Okay, Drupad thought only of revenge. He knew he could never defeat Drona in battle, right? Because Drona, he's learned, you know, from Parasaram. Parasaram defeated every Kshatriya, you know, except Ramachandra and I think Bhishma, like that. But otherwise, you know, Drona is no match like that. So he had gone to the forest to seek out a powerful Brahmana. He knew that only a Brahman's spiritual power could match Drona's strength. Right, so Drona is working on that spiritual strength. So therefore, if you want to defeat him, then you have to find a Brahmin who has that same strength. After some time, Drupad came across two Brahmin brothers named Yaja and Upayaja. descendants of Kasyapa, a powerful son of the great god Brahma. Right, so he's Prajapati. The king worshipped and served the two Brahmas for some time, then asked for their assistance. He first approached the younger of the two, Upayaja, knowing him to be the more powerful. Drupad asked him to conduct a sacrifice that would give the king a son capable of killing Drona. Right, so then he's going, so he's from the Brahmins, he's getting this, then they have a son that'll do just like Drona defeated Drupad through his students, or like his sons. And now he, so as the king approaching the Brahmins, arranged that he'll have a son now that can defeat Drona. So it just keeps going back and forth. But it makes for interesting history. Drupad offered him 10,000 cows as payment. But the Brahmin replied, I shall not perform any act directed towards material gain, either for myself or for another. Right? So Upayaja, he said he was the more powerful. That's because he had the, you know, that spiritual inclination. So he wasn't interested in that kind of mundane, you know, things like that, that he'll do this for you and he'll get 10,000 cows. You know, it's just like that's not so important for him. So he's pointing out, I'm not going to do anything that's material gain for anyone else or myself. It's just, I don't do that. Right? The disappointed Drupad continued serving Upayaja in the hope that he might relent. Right? So he just keeps on doing his service and that, and hoping that maybe one day he'll say, okay, I'll do this for you. Finally, after a full year had passed, this is, he had already served. And now when he said no, he served for another year. The Brahmin took pity on him and said, I once saw my elder brother take up and eat a fruit from the ground without considering whether or not it was clean. When we were both boys studying in our guru's house, I often saw him eat the remnants of other people's food. One who has no regard for purity in one thing will not have much regard in another. Therefore approach him, for he will surely perform your sacrifice. So now he's pointing out someone who has a fault in one area, the good chance that the fault may be there in other areas. So here is that the aspect of cleanliness. It's not there in this, so it won't be on this side. Because Upayaja is looking at, if you're looking at spiritual, so material activities for material gain, especially like this, you know, based on revenge, is going, because he's asking, I want a son that can kill Drona. It's not like I want a son who can, you know, be able to, after me, rule, you know, and protect the people and things like that. Because that's for duty. That's not for material gain. It's within the material environment, but it's not for gain. But here, it's just, why would you want a son to kill Drona unless it's, you know, some vendetta? So that's the difficulty. He says he's not going to be involved. But he's saying that because the brother, so that impurity in the, you know, that material aspect, he'll be maybe inclined there also. So it's just like, let's say if you don't like, if you have the chain of authority, but if you have a weakness in any one of those, it will have an impact on the whole chain, like that, you know. So that's the difficulty that's there. You know, let's say you don't like the idea that there's a boss and he's telling you what to do and you have to do like that. But there's a good chance that it also will weaken your relationship with your father, any senior other persons, guru, Krishna. It's the same. It goes through. You know, does that make sense? You know, you're lusty after one type of food, you'll be lusty after food in general. So that's what Upayaja is pointing out, because his brother was not so worried about, so careful about cleanliness, that fault of not being clean in this, in performing this work for someone else's benefit, that it's totally mundane, like that, then he won't mind that either, right? Therefore, approach him, for he will surely perform your sacrifice. The Brahma's word proved true, and Yaja agreed to Drupad's proposal. The Brahmin, realizing what a difficult task the king had requested, engaged his younger brother to assist him, right? Because Yaja may be good, but Upayaja is the more powerful one. So without Upayaja, he wouldn't be able to perform this sacrifice. Although Upayaja had no personal desire to perform Drupad's sacrifice, he could not refuse his elder brother's request. So he's, in other words, involved because of his duty to assist his elder brother, right? Because they perform their brahminical duties. So, you know, probably staying together, then the elder brother represents like the father. So then he works in that way as a greater family. And so then he will perform these activities as a duty. While the other one, it would be just be, he would be getting material gain from it, so he wasn't involved. Thus, the two Brahmins went to Kampilya to perform a fire sacrifice intended to propitiate the gods, headed by Lord Vishnu. Thus, Drupad would be able to get a son capable of killing Drona. Right, so something so amazing like this, it's only by the grace of Vishnu, by Krishna's grace, one can get these. Even you're worshipping other demigods, the potency of the demigod is coming from Krishna. So then why go through them? Why not go direct? You know, it's just like if I want to buy some goods, you know, and I want the proper price, I can go to the one person, but he's getting it from another person. I can just go directly to that person myself and get it. So then I know I get proper price. So why would you go through, why go through the demigods? So this one then you go directly to Vishnu. As the sacrifice commenced, the king again spoke with Yaja. Remembering the day he had been overpowered by Arjuna, he asked the priest if, as well as a son, he might attain a beautiful daughter whom he could offer to Arjuna as his wife. Drupad thought if Arjuna became his son-in-law, his happiness would be complete, right? Because here he's a powerful Kshatriya, and he's defeated by Arjuna, not because of any, you know, bad feelings or that, just he's performing his duty to his guru. And so how amazing is his talent, his character, you know, his beauty, everything is just so wonderful. So then Drupad thought, I would like to be connected to this person like that. And so then the best way, because of the age and that, is through marriage. And that means that he needs a daughter, right? And so then he can't just have him hang out, you know, but that, you know, then you have a nice connection. So therefore, he said, in creating the son who will kill Drona, can you also create a daughter that will marry Arjuna? Yajna replied, "It shall be so." Right? So he's heard it. It's proper according to, you know, it's not against the religious principles. So he says yes. And Drupad joyfully sat down by the sacrificial fire with his queen. As the ritual neared completion, Yajna called for Drupad's wife. "Come quickly, good queen. A son and daughter have now come for you." The queen replied, "O Brahmana, I am not pure. My mouth is filled with saffron. My body is smeared with perfumes. I am not ready to receive the sacrificial ghee." So that's the you know, so here is that the coming and just all this. And so she probably doesn't know how this is all working out. And they'll figure out, you know, as it goes, it'll become clear and this and that. But these kind of things here, it's that it's not. So in other words, technically then, if you're going to this yajna and you're the yajaman, it means it's for your benefit, you should go ready to be involved in the puja. Because otherwise we see so many things come up if you're not quite that. Even Lord, Saraswati, you know, when it was being married to Brahma, so there was a particular titi, everything was arranged and all that, but she was taking extra time getting ready. Because many times, you know, the girl, you know, it's her day, she wants to look her best and everything like that. So sometimes they take extra time more. So in this case, the time was going beyond where you'd lose the muhurta, and it was such a perfect muhurta and all that. The priests who were there, they can't have their work go to waste. So then they think, okay, well, who can marry Brahma? So then the qualified girl was there, but then, to bring about that purity, they passed her through the mouth of the cow. The mouth is not pure, but I don't know how. It was somehow or another connected with the cow. You know, so that's what, so she's known as Gayatri. So Gaya means the cow, right, like that. And so then Brahma married Gayatri. And then, you know, partway through the wedding, then Saraswati shows up. She wasn't overly happy, but, you know, so then he married both. So, like this, is when you have sacrifices, you should be ready to take part in it. Otherwise, things can go funny. So, you know, just as a general thing, it's like if you're going for the Abhishek, or you're doing this or that, if you always are, you know, you have clothes that you're always ready to do. Not that you go to the temple. Maybe I'll take part in this, in the puja or the Abhishek, but you wear your shirt and all these other things, then you have to take them off, and then this and your chatter. So you just go ready to be involved. If you're not involved, fine, it doesn't matter. And if you are involved, you're ready. So in this way, the queen should have been thinking that she's the yajaman, so therefore She should be going to this program ready for all these things. And so then everything would work. But in the case, still, by the providence, it worked out very special anyway. Yajna replied, whether or not you are ready, the object of the sacrifice, which I have prepared and Upayaja sanctified, cannot be thwarted, right? Because it's been arranged, the Brahmins are doing it, has to happen. Yajna had then poured the oblation into the fire. Immediately there arose from the flames a godlike boy, right? Because there's the ghee that they've prepared. And so then she's supposed to accept that. And the living entities that are going to be present, then they're already there. So you have to accept it at that time. It's some kind of, you know, this special sacrifice. So he just took that ghee and poured it into the fire. So then the fire becomes the parent. Immediately there rose from the flames a godlike boy. He was encased in brilliant golden armor, and he shone like fire. He wore a bright crown on his head and held a long bow and sword. That youth was terrible to behold, terrible meaning just the mood was so powerful and that, you know, fierce, doesn't mean that he was ugly. You know, he very good looking, but it's just that the mood that he comes out, because he's come to kill, you know, Drona, so he has that mood of fighting and all that kind of thing. The youth was terrible to behold, and he rose from the fire roaring. Stepping clear of the flames, he mounted the king's chariot and immediately rode about, displaying all kinds of skill. Right, so he's, how you say, this would be the Vedic version of born ready. Right, you know, this is the original, like that. The people of Kampilya had shouted with joy upon seeing this boy who would fulfill the king's desire and kill his enemy. Right, because they also weren't very pleased, right? They're just going on, and then suddenly the Kauravas and that, all that, by the arrangement of Drona, then come into their city and attack like that. And so then, you know, as their cries of happiness resounded, a celestial woman appeared from the fire. Her complexion was dark, and her smiling eyes were shaped like lotus petals. Her long, curling, bluish hair fell down her back as she emerged from the flames. She had raised breasts and tapered thighs. At the end of her graceful fingers were nails that shone like bright copper. Her body emanated the sweet fragrance of blue lotuses, which could be perceived at a distance of 2 miles. So she naturally smelled like blue lotuses, like that. She didn't have to put on perfume and all that. That divine woman captured the mind of every man who saw her. She had no equal, even among the gods or the Gandharvas. So we see at this time, Draupadi is the most beautiful and qualified girl. But then, you know, before her, then it was Kunti. She was that girl, you know, the it girl. And then, in the generation before that, then it was Gandhari, like that. So you see, is that this, you know, the family, they're such qualified girls, right? Because you can say, oh, but she's just beautiful. But the point is beauty comes from piety. So that means there must have been some good work and all that. So then, if there's proper training, then they carry on with that proper pious attitude. The ascetic then told his attentive audience how the heavenly voice had spoken from the skies as soon as the boy and girl had appeared. Booming like thunder, it said, "This dark-skinned beauty will be the best of all women, and she will cause the destruction of the world's warriors. The boy shall be called Dhrishtadyumna, and he shall slay Drona." Right? Because it was, you know, it's been arranged that these higher things, so the heavenly voices. So here a heavenly voice announced, just like with the Pandavas, when they appeared, that heavenly voice announced with them. So you can see it's natural, it's going to come up, they're going to be interested, right? Drona had heard about this prophecy, but considered destiny to be supreme. He nevertheless agreed to train Drupad's son in martial arts. The noble Drona did this to repay Drupad for taking half his kingdom. So because he took half his kingdom, he wanted to show some, you know, how you say, appreciation. So he trained his son on that. And so then he would be a very good warrior. So we see here's the girl will be the cause, because you see at the gambling match, they try to disrobe Draupadi. And Manu mentions that if you insult a chaste woman, then the person who is insulted Their direct relatives means their direct family, the extended family, everybody connected to them, their friends, their, you know, how you say, countrymen, their dentists, everybody will be destroyed like that. So that's what he says. This, she will be the best of all women, and she will be the cause of the destruction of the world's world. Because at that time, everybody, it means Duryodhana and his people, they're already condemned. So anyone connected with them, so their whole army and all those, they're all condemned. And the other side was there to fight. And so then fighting with them, then two fires extinguish each other. Like that. So that was the... Yeah. Yeah. So this is then how... Because they ask, how did Dishtadumna not appear, you know, from the fire? So they haven't heard of that one before. So it's very special. So now the sage told that. So we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.